all of a sudden, this business just, you know, it took a little while to grow it, obviously, but we were able to scale it to a point where we were seeing 200, 250 weddings a year, so about four a week, and we were averaging about $1,000 per wedding party. So we went after the big wedding parties. And so, yeah, $250,000 in additional revenue coming into our business without any real overhead apart from the stylist, the split with the stylist.
Welcome to the Business Mastermind Podcast with business strategist, speaker and author, Gavin Preston. Tap into this meeting of minds between everyday business people on their journey to master business growth. Join them as they share strategies, insights and shortcuts to help you survive and thrive in business and life as you scale your business and achieve a bigger impact.
Hi, Gavin here. Welcome to episode 60 of the Business Mastermind Podcast. Another collaborative episode for you, but this time we sat down with the podcaster, David Barnett of High Performance Stylists. So his niche is very different, and that's working with hair salon owners to help them grow and scale in business. After having grown and scaled and sold a hair salon in Northern California for a seven-figure sum, David set up and his wife set up a coaching practice and now work with salon owners across the globe in helping them to grow and scale their business. And in the conversation, we actually apply one of the stages of my strategy compass business growth model. We look about the things we need to do to scale the capability of your business. And we talk about the S, the C, the A, the L, and the E of scale in my model. But we do that in terms of applying it to the niche or the case study of a hair salon business. So you will find lessons, insights that could be applicable to your own industry, your own business, once you hear this discussion about a business that maybe you've been a customer of, but not necessarily thought a huge amount about the business model that sits behind the hairdressing or the hair salon business. So straight into my conversation with David Barnett, who's a podcaster for the High Performance Stylish Podcaster and a coach that specializes in helping hair salon owners to grow and scale their businesses into six and seven figures. Businesses.
Welcome to the Business Mastermind Podcast. This is a special collaborative episode between myself, Gavin Preston, and
David Barnett.
So, David, introduce yourself. Your listeners obviously know who you are, but introduce yourself to my listeners, and I'll do vice versa.
Yes, so my name is David Barnett, and Gavin, thanks for coming up with this idea for us to collaborate on this. This is super fun. My background is that I'm a hairdresser. I was a hairdresser for over 25 years, fourth generation in the family, so no choice really. And over the last 3 or 4 years, I have been a business coach. My wife and I grew a very successful salon out in Northern California, took it very quickly to seven figures, had multiple hairdressers working for us that were doing six figures behind the chair. And we quickly realized that this was a strategy that was really missing from our industry. So it kind of organically really led us into business coaching. We are now, we sold our salon business in California. We're now based back in North Wales. And the coaching business has just really taken off. We work with salons all over the world. We show them how to scale their businesses, how to grow their teams, and how to make a lot of money. And it's been going extremely well. We've seen massive growth, especially over the last 12 months. And my podcast is fairly new. It's called The High Performance Stylist, and we released it only a couple of months ago. I've been kind of building content for quite some time now, but things are going incredibly well and we're having a lot of fun doing it. So great to be here with you, Gavin.
Excellent. I'm excited to do this. So by way of introduction, Gavin Preston, my podcast is the Business Mastermind Podcast. I'm a business strategist and growth expert, investor, turnaround specialist. And I've spent, effectively 25 years now working in businesses large and small, helping individuals and teams and businesses to grow and to scale. And my speciality is where a business has got to hit a plateau, they've experienced growth, and they're successfully stuck. And I help them get back into growth. So What we want to do in this podcast is to just take two very different kind of sectors, but the common core is business and about what we need to do to inject that sort of growth catalyst into a business. And we want to talk about specifically adding other revenue streams and things you need to be aware of when you are scaling your business. So we're going to take the listeners for David's podcast, High Performance Stylings, will be glad to know that we're going to take the example of the hair salon industry as a case study with this. But the things that we will be talking about and the issues I'll be raising and things you need to be aware of when you're scaling your business are applicable across other industries.
I would 100% agree with that. I mean, I think that's one thing that we've noticed. You know, I mean, obviously, I'm from a hairdressing background. All I know is hair. And since we've been business coaching, the amount of people that we've been able to help with advice and knowledge with scaling businesses that were completely different from hairdressing, but still service related, it's exactly the same, right?
I often get asked the question, do you specialize in an industry? And for those of you that know anything about marketing, you know, niching is good, or as the Americans like to say, there's riches in them niches. But the point is that it's still people and it's still business. So I've worked across so many different sectors now because I know the levers that need to be pulled and I'm able to identify what needs to change in order to be able to change the trajectory of the growth of the business. So I, just by a little bit way of a background, have a model that I use for scaling businesses, and it's a six-stage model that I call the strategy compass. And if I'll try to create, by word, a mental picture in your own minds now of what that is. So if you imagine a compass, and at the center of that compass, you've got two sort of hemispheres, the top and bottom, in the center of that circle. So that one half of that circle in the center of the compass is purpose. You've got to be clear about why you're doing what you're doing, what's the difference that you make to your customers and your customers' customers. Then secondly, mindset. If you're going to change the trajectory of your business, you know, it's all in mindset, it's everything. Then the northerly point is around outcome. Where you're heading? Have you got the goals? And I'm sure David will have done work with you around sort of getting clear of your goals. And no doubt you're thinking about 2020 already. The easterly point is strategy. How are you going to get there? The southerly point is capability. You need the capability to scale. And then the westerly point, the sixth of the six steps, is around action and accountability. So one of the topics we want to talk today is about scaling that capability to scale, and also about how you can scale by adding additional revenue streams as a way of growing your business without opening another office, another salon, another low geographical location, and the fixed overheads that would go with that.
Yeah. So, well, you know, just you going through that whole plan that you have there, it just everything you were talking about just relates so well to what we do at HPS, you know, at High Performance Stylist. When you're talking about mindset, when you're talking about systems, strategies in place. And I think, you know, a really important part, which we've added more recently to our coaching, is the mindset piece. You know, we now have a former Tony Robbins coach, and he's actually, Andrew Devlin, his name is, he's based in the US, from the UK originally. But I mean, he has been a massive piece to what we do, because we found out after some time of working with so many different salons that the way the individual on the team shows up every single day has a massive difference to the level of success that they're going to achieve. You know, the systems are just the systems, right? Information is just information, but the way the individual shows up and implements every day is going to determine just how rapidly they scale and to what level they scale to.
And the ripple effect is huge. You've just taken that point. So the salon owner, the business owner, how they show up is massive in terms of how the decisions they'll make, the calls they will make, what they choose to do to grow their business, or whether they keep themselves at the level that they have become habitually accustomed to. But it's not only the business owner. Anybody, whatever role within that organization, within that team, if they turn in a bad day, we just know it, and it has that ripple effect on everybody. Right. It doesn't just have a ripple effect on your fellow colleagues, co-workers. What about the customers that are coming in to your business?
Sure, absolutely.
So if just one person comes in and projects that vibe of like, I don't want to be here today, don't talk to me because I'm in a foul mood, that leaches or leaks out across everybody, including the people that walk in the door.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, 100%.
So mindset is key. Mindset is everything. And we have a choice how we're going to show up on each and every day. And we have a choice in terms of the state we are in when we walk into a meeting, when we walk into an interaction with a customer, etc.
Yeah, 100%. So, I mean, onto this topic of because I think this is a very, very interesting piece about scaling your business and multiple streams of revenue. It's something that we've been putting a lot of thought and a lot of action behind over the last couple of months regarding what new methods of coaching that we're going to be bringing out in 2020. And I think, you know, the world has changed, the business world has changed. And there was a time when the only way to scale your business was to open more locations, right? If you haven't got a big enough location where you can, you know, you maximize the amount of team members you can have in that one location, then the next step was another location. Where I think because of the internet and because of the times that we're living in right now, it's opened up more options of just what is possible. And I think probably the best way for me to explain what we did in our own business, the easiest way for me to explain is by telling you what we did in our own business. So we had to begin with a four chair salon, really small. We obviously knew that that wasn't ever going to become a $1 million business, but it was all that we could afford at the time when we first opened up. So we kind of maxed out there very, very quickly. We hit the ceiling and we knew that we had to move to a bigger location. We needed more chairs to begin with. So fortunately, a location became available within the same building. We expanded to the new location. We ended up being three times the size of what we were originally. And we got to a point again where within about 3 years, we were hitting seven figures at this point, but we got to a point where, again, we were like maximizing what we could do within that space. And we didn't really want to go any bigger than what we were. But of course, we wanted to continue growing. So the question came, what else can we do? How can we start to bring more revenue into the business? As I'm sure many of you are aware, the wedding business, the bridal business, is something that hairdressers are involved with, on a weekly basis. And the location where we were in Northern California was really a big wedding destination. So it was something that we were starting to see within the salon. And the only problem was that when our stylists went out on location to service these wedding parties, what happened was I ended up being in the salon pretty much on my own. So it got to a point where, you know, the team were all busy. They just weren't in the salon busy. And I've seen this happen so many times with different salon owners where they've gone, you know what, we can make more money if we keep all the team in the salon. Let's scrap the weddings, right? Which I get because, you know, by the time you've got time that you've used to do travel and to get the team members out there and to cancel appointments in the salon, it's like, is it really worth my while doing the weddings? So a lot of salon owners end up scrapping the weddings. My question was, how do I make it work for both scenarios? You know, how do we keep the team in the salon and how do we have these weddings going on outside the salon too? So my idea was, let's get freelance hairdressers, you know, let's reach out to some of the stylists that used to work for us who now have families, you know, have children at home and have decided that they don't want to work anymore. Let's reach out to them and let's see if they're interested. And, you know, the first three hairdressers that I reached out to who used to work for me and were amazing at doing bridal hair, doing wedding hair, I said to them, look, I want you to become part of our freelance team. All you need to do is to pick the weddings that you want to work on, the Saturdays that you want to work. If you want to do it every Saturday and get out of the house for a few hours, you can do that. If you want to do just, you know, one or two a month, that's fine too, whatever you want to do. And let's see if we can grow this business. Well, things just took off. You know, because they were freelance, it meant that I could go and just cut them a check. It wasn't going to cost me any money regarding employment tax and things like that. Obviously, we had no overhead because they were doing it outside of the salon. So there was no rent or anything like that on another building. And it was massively profitable. And what I did was I did a 50-50 split with any of the stylists. So all of a sudden, this business just, you know, it took a little while to grow it, obviously, but we were able to scale it to a point where we were seeing 200, 250 weddings a year So about four a week. And we were averaging about $1,000 per wedding party. So we went after the big wedding parties. And so, yeah, $250,000 in additional revenue coming into our business without any real overhead apart from the stylist, the split with the stylist.
That's amazing. And I just want to sort of unpick that strategy so that other businesses in different sectors can apply that. So you took an area or a sub-niche of the hairdressing industry, the wedding market, and you had demand for skills. A sub-niche that you hadn't traditionally put any time and energy and attention to. Right. Yeah. And where many others found that it didn't work because it caused that tension between people behind the chair in the salon versus out at a venue doing the hair. So many went, this isn't going to work because it's going to unfairly sacrifice the core business on one of the busiest days of the week.
Right, exactly.
Right. So you, instead of making the statement or the decision, this isn't going to work because my core business is the most important, you asked a different question, which was, how can I find a way to make this work? Which is a fantastic, you know, questions are everything, aren't they? They are often the answers, the quality and the caliber of the questions. So first of all, you found a sub-niche that you knew there was demand for your skills and the reputation that you'd already developed. You then thought, how can I do this without increasing my fixed costs, my overhead? And not only so, you found that through the outsourcing route. And then thirdly, the thing that I really love about it, you created a real genuine win-win. It wasn't, I'm going to pay you equivalent of what you would have done for a day's work.
Exactly.
I'm inviting you to be my business partner for the day. I'm going to go 50-50 on this.
And there was actually some stylists that we even gave them 60%. We did a 60-40 after they'd worked with us for a certain amount of time. You know, they were valuable hairdressers. And of course, it was still worth our while to take the 40% on what they were doing. So, no, yeah, we've always made it a massive win for the team members that were working, whether they were on the salon floor, whether they were freelancing for us. It always had to be, what's the maximum amount I can pay this person?
Of course, they're going to want to not only come and work for you or work on those jobs, those opportunities, but they're going to want to do amazing jobs so they get asked back because, right, it's a win for them as well.
Yeah, exactly. That's it.
Great. So you've now got a new revenue stream to your business, mm-hmm, using resource that actually is not compromising the core business on a Saturday, and it's creating a win-win. And of course, it's providing extra marketing because people that are out, who would maybe guests at the wedding, they're getting their hair done, and may, if they live locally, may well come back to your salon because they love what your team had done.
Yeah, well, there's that. And also, you know, for scaling the people that were working on the team, you know, hairdressers, they talk, you know, and
really? We kind of noticed.
We talk a lot, and they also run around in packs as well, right? Of other hairdressers. So when word gets out as well that, you know, the kind of money that they're earning from doing a couple of hours on a Saturday, then of course, you know, we had just a line of freelance hairdressers wanted to jump on our wedding team. So it became this thing that, you know, can you get onto the Brush team, you know, on the Brush wedding team? So yeah, it was amazing. And it also, by the way, it kept our stylists in the salon really happy because they had no interest in doing wedding hair. They knew that they could actually make more money behind the chair if they, you know, weren't having to do these brides, because quite often the bride can be a one hit wonder, right? Because especially if they've traveled from, you know,
and they were
far
worried about
away,
the revenue the lost States. From their regulars then.
Exactly. Okay. You know, they're more interested in looking after their regulars. So it got to a point where it was kind of like, you know, I don't want to do the brides. And I was like, okay, well, I think we need to do them somehow. We need to figure this out. So it was a Amazing. Real win-win across the board.
So just remind me again, what sort of business revenue did you start to get from just that, the wedding?
Just from that, we were doing about $250,000 a year.
Amazing. Yeah. Great. Yeah. So then the principle is, what sub-niche is there demand for your product or your services? And could you create a team of subcontractors where you've not got a massive sort of increase in fixed overheads, fixed costs of the business? Could you create a sub-team of freelancers to go and take advantage of that sub-niche and then grow it? I suppose the next stage with that would be to have more than one wedding team out in the field.
Well, you know, it's funny enough, when we sold the business, right? So, you know, like I said, we were hitting about $1.2 million a year by the time we were ready to sell and move on. And the person that we sold it to, one of the conversations I said to her was, look, if you want to scale this business, because you know, at the moment, the salon, it is what it is. You know, yeah. I managed to take myself out of the business quite a bit, because when we came to sell it, of course, if I was responsible as a hairdresser for 30 or 40% of the revenue, then the salon wasn't going to be worth much. So I managed to pull myself back out of the business so that the team were generating the majority of the income. I said to her, look, apart from raising prices, which of course you can do gradually, you know, there's not a lot of other ways that we can really scale the internal revenue of the business. But the way that you can really scale it is with the wedding business. Go and double or triple the team that you've got there. And there's no reason why you can't be doing a million a year from the weddings as well.
Absolutely. And of course, there's other services you could then take to that wedding client base, isn't there, in terms of makeup, etc.
Exactly. Nails, makeup, you know, everything.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Hi, Gavin here. As the calendar is about to click over between the end of 2019 and the start not only of a new year 2020, but the start of a new decade, I want you to have not only a strong start to 2020, but I'd love 2020 to be a defining decade for you and your business. You know, you need to have a clear strategy, a documented strategy in place. You need to have the right tools, the right business model, the right strategy and techniques in order to be able to scale and grow your business, but also the actionable metrics in place in order for that business performance to be measured and fine-tuned and improved over time. And if you need help in any of those areas, then you need to get in touch, because I can help. And I'm actually pulling together a small group of business owners on a three-month sort of kickstart for 2020 to help you get those things in place for your business and help you start what I hope will become a defining decade for you and your business with the really best of ways. So get in touch, drop me a line at gavin@gavinpreston.com. That's gavin@gavinpreston.com. Or connect with me on LinkedIn. That's Gavin Preston. And we'll continue the conversation over the phone or over Zoom and see how I can help you make 2020 and the start of 2020 to be the start of a defining decade for you and your business.
So that's a powerful new potential revenue stream.
Right.
And I know that within your customers who are salon owners, that you're helping them to grow and scale their businesses, you're also exploring additional revenue streams as well.
Yeah. So the next one, which is, I'll be honest, I'm very, very excited about because of the scale of growth that you could potentially have with this, is education. You know, again, a lot of hairdressers are amazing educators as well. And
back to that liking to talk thing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. but, you know, in the past, a lot of the education within our industry had to come through the product companies. So the product companies would charge a lot of money for classes, or it would be kind of like part of the deal that you had, because you're buying X amount of product a year from a product company, that they would supply you with some form of education, right? And we've come to a point now where the stylist can actually build an incredible following online. They've become an expert in a certain method, a certain niche or niche, right? And they're promoting themselves, and they're able to either do classes within the salon. Like, for instance, I'll give you a great example. There's a wonderful salon owner that works with us. Her name is Kelly Furnival. And if you're listening, Kelly, just a quick shout out to you, because we think you're amazing. And she's got this little studio in Manchester. But she's incredible. She's an incredible colorist, and she has an amazing technique which has allowed other hairstylists to learn how to do a full head of foil highlights, which is a high ticket service in our industry, at a much faster rate, right? So of course, speed is everything, you know, not just for the stylist, but also for the client. They want to get in and they want to get out. So she put together this class. I said to her, look, I love the fact that you're basing it on speed. That's amazing. I think that you'll have a massive following because of that. And it has, it's just taken off. So what she does now is, on a Monday, in half a day, she can have up to six, I think maybe even eight people there at £250 a head. And all of a sudden, you know, she's doubling her income. You know, she's doing incredible things. So she's able to put £1,000 and £2,000 in a pocket on a Monday. And it doesn't stop there. I mean, The other option is, of course, online classes. You know, we have another stylist in our group who recently promoted a class that she was doing. It was going to be a webinar-based class. It was going to be just between, I think, an hour and 2 hours. So I think it ended up being actually about 90 minutes. And it was £10 for anybody who wanted to join the class. And again, she was teaching a technique that is very, very popular in our industry right now, is a balayage class. And she charged £10 and she had 150 people turn up for it.
Amazing.
So, you know, £1,500 just from a couple of hours on a day that she was normally closed. You know, and again, doesn't affect her regular business, doesn't eat into that whatsoever.
Straight to the bottom line.
Yeah, straight to the bottom line. Amazing. You know, and our idea with this now is that salon owners can, of course, do this themselves, but if they set up a little studio area, you know, they buy the equipment and what have you, they can also promote the stylist on their team. So again, this partnership idea, which I love, this collaboration, which again is going to help to reinforce why they work for this company. You know, they're not going to be looking elsewhere if they know that they've got this incredible support from their boss, from their leader, from their owner, from the owner. And if they go and put a class together, and for instance, just like this, if it's 150 people signing up for a £10 class and you turn around to the stylist and say, let's do a 50-50 on this, you know, use all of our equipment, I'll help you shoot it and film it and help you market it, and let's do a split on this, you know, these stylists all of a sudden can be making £700 on their day off in a couple of hours.
Great. So let me just unpick that again. So I think in every single business that I go into, and I've been into thousands over the last 25 years, there's one or two things there's a couple of things I always look for because they're always present. One is, what are the assumptions that that business holds to be true that maybe at one time in the past were true but are now no longer true that are holding them back? What I mean by that, oh, that'll never work, we tried that before. Well, you might have tried that before 5 years ago, but the world has changed massively in that period of time, and actually it may well work now. But the one I wanted to zone in on is the second one, is that there's always a talent, a thing that any business does that they just think, well, doesn't everybody do it like this, that actually is extraordinary. And I like to point the spotlight on it or polish it up, because I think there's a huge amount of potential. So let's take that skill you've just talked about in terms of the foiling. Sorry if I don't get the language quite right.
That's all right.
there's no video here, but it's quite ironic we're in a conversation about the sector of hairdressers when I am particularly follically challenged. But there we go. So
you've got a great shaped head though, Gavin.
Thank you very much, yes. So we've got a particular niche skill area where somebody's excellent at it. What you've done is around saying, well, how can we share and add value to other people by taking that area of brilliance? Now, the individual that has that area of brilliance may not even recognize it, because they've just become, through practice and through evolution over time, incrementally just got better and better and better. And it takes an external person going in and going, whoa, you might think that's not, that you might think that's normal, but I'm telling you that is not normal. That's extraordinary good.
Right.
So then you turn that and you can monetize that in terms of sharing that and teaching others to get that level of capability. But even if you choose not to monetize it, I'll come back to the bit about not to monetize it, but if you do monetize it, you're then creating a proposition to a member of your team. Let's do a little project. Back to this idea of win-win. Let's be a business partner together on it. We'll do it. Yes, if you're not the business owner, that is, if you there's a member of your team that's particularly skilled in an area, mm-hmm. and you do a revenue split with them on it.
Right.
They're more engaged. They're thinking different. They're stepping up. No longer are they're breaking out of this place from feeling like they're an employee to be, hey, I've got a little project, a little mini business here that I'm a business owner with, the owner of the business with. Mm-hmm. I'm a partner with them. If you choose not to monetize it, you know, all marketing these days is we've got to lead with value. We've got to build trust and reciprocity through the delivery of good value-added content. It also helps to build brand, because we know it's important to build the brand of the business, build the brand of the product or the service, but you've also got to build the brand of the people behind that business. So it ticks so many boxes, just again, taking that strategy about taking one skill and then looking to share that with others.
Yeah, and I think, you know, the other piece of this is that, you know, in any business, as a business owner, one of our biggest fears is, of course, losing team members.
Yeah.
Right? And again, this just adds that value of, because believe me, there's nobody out there that's really doing this. Not on this scale, right? And that's the thing with a lot of these ideas is that, you know, you think, okay, well, you know, we just kind of stick to the way things are always done, right? We stick to that, and you know, we shouldn't really go outside those guidelines. And I think we're living in that, in a time now where we have to be thinking of what else can we offer. You know, if this is an idea that nobody else is doing in your area, you will have people banging on your door to get in. You're going to keep people long term.
If we want to keep people long term and keep them engaged and motivated, yes, the 50-50 split or the 60-40 whatever on money will help. Mm-hmm. But there's an interesting book that's a few years old now by a guy called Daniel Pink called Drive. And he did a lot of research into what really motivates. He calls it motivation 2.0. What is it that really motivate people? And he did a number of little like tests or studies around, was it money? So they did some tests around if they gave two parallel sort of groups of people some tasks to do, and so they got a control group do these tasks, and they got another group and saying do these tasks, and if you actually do more or you achieve them quicker, you'll get a financial reward. And they found that the presence of the financial reward reduced performance. Mm. You go figure. And cutting to the chase, actually what the studies found was that where you have repetitive kind of like production type actions, then the presence of a financial reward can improve performance. But as soon as you require any thought, as soon as, you know, we're engaging that creativity, the analysis, decision making, as soon as it requires any thought, the presence of a reward actually reduced performance. Mm. And what they found that did improve performance was three things. A, having a sense of purpose. B, being able to have a sense of being able to master a skill, and C, having a sense of autonomy. This is my little project. I can grow and I can own it. So all those things are in play. What the point you just made about you, an individual within a team takes an area of skill that they're particularly great at. They want to get even better at it if they're going to teach others. The best way to learn is to teach. So that gets the mastery bit. The autonomy comes from the fact that they're driving it themselves and they can get their own new revenue stream from it. That's two ticks out of three. And the purpose is they're then helping other people that they're teaching to be able to do the same thing for their home lives.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah. And also I think a big part of that is because of social media now is the recognition. You know, people absolutely love that, you know, to get social recognition for what they're doing, you know, and I think that's another huge piece in today's world.
So when we're looking, so we've talked about a couple of different ideas about how you could add on extra revenue streams to your business. You know, one, look for a sub-niche that your team could add a value to, and then you could resource that through the subcontract route or people that would only want part-time. And the second could be taking a particular skill that you are amazing at or a member of your team is amazing at and looking how that you can share that with others, whether or not you monetize it. It will be drawing people towards you, drawing clients or customers towards you. I think it would be good to move the kind of conversation onto some of the things that you need to be aware of if you were wanting to scale your business. So let's say somebody genuinely did want to move to a new, opening a new outlet, a new salon in a different geographical location. What are some of the things that they need to be aware of as they're stepping up to that next stage of growth of having multiple outlets?
To open a second location,
yeah.
You mean?
Yeah.
So okay, so they've got one that's very successful, they want to open a second one. I think obviously the first and probably most important piece is that they've got somebody that is either a business, either a partner with them, or somebody that has some sort of financial involvement or commitment to the business. Because of course, you know, we've got to make sure that you can't be in two places at once, obviously, right? And we want to make sure that the culture that we're bringing over there is very, very similar to what you're doing. You know, I think that that's probably the biggest thing in the hairdressing industry that can become inconsistent is the culture of the business. You know, and I'm sure that's, you know, I'm sure you see that a lot in multiple businesses, you know. So I think having somebody that you've worked with for either many years and who is going over and taking business over there to get things going, and that you know that 100% that they are going to deliver the same level of culture and service to the team and to the clients.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the first and most important question to consider is why are you doing it? Mm-hmm. If you're doing it just to increase profit, then adding additional revenue streams along the lines of the early points in this conversation would be the more preferable route to go down first.
100%.
Because more money without the overhead and without the hassle and the extra workload. However, if you're wanting to scale a business, to grow a business so to sell, to exit, and you want to have multiple outlets that a bigger group might be interested in to buy, then that might be a strong enough reason in order for you to take on the extra workload of acquiring, harmonizing the cultures, and getting the level of performance out of a new business or an acquired business that you have in your current business. So there's things I look for and in a business that's wanting to scale, and quite conveniently, I've managed to get it to fit into the mnemonic that spells scale. So the first one is systems. Systems and processes, you may enable that business to go on and deliver the same quality of customer experience and same quality of product time in, time out. You know, yeah, like 100%. Them all, you know, whether you go into a Starbucks or a Costa Coffee, you know, in London, or Loughborough, or New York, or Newport, you know, you've got the same quality of product and the same quality of customer experience. That's entirely down to the systems in that in that business. So systems are key, and systems, you know, to save you time, energy, stress, and money. You know, and it's really important that you. That you develop the systems, that they could be the way that people operate. So the way that hair is coloured, for example, mm-hmm. is clearly very conversant in this area. But the systems that how the job is done, the systems in terms of the IT, the systems in the way that money is taken, in the way that marketing and lead generation is done and customer conversion is done, all of those are really important.
100%. You know, yeah, and you know, it's funny, you know, when we were building our own business, our own salon, the systems were stuff that were things that we worked on as the business was building, right? So we had a handbook, you know, a manual that was basically everything of, you know, all of the operations of the business, everything through to customer service, visual standards of the salon, everything. And this was something that was a living and breathing thing. What I mean by that is that we altered it as we needed to, as the business grew, you know, and it was something that was a collaboration as well amongst the team of what needs to be different here. How can we make it better? How can we improve it? So, I mean, the systems of the business is absolutely everything.
Yeah, absolutely. The second stage, so that's S of scale is systems. C is cash. Everybody says cash is king, but it's everything when you're growing a business. Growing a business, scaling a business is thirsty on cash. So you're having a cash flow forecast, whether you build it on Excel, you know, or Google Sheets, whatever. Having a cash flow forecast is critical. There are some businesses that have very predictable cash in and cash out. Others, the cash flow is a bit more lumpy depending on the contracts and the jobs that they win. But as you grow a business, and particularly if you're opening another geographical location, that drains a huge amount of cash mm-hmm. in as you're kitting out the new premises, etc. So you think you projected how much cash you will need, you will need more by a factor of at least a half more than you projected. Right. So cash and management of cash is absolutely crucial. And the third of the letter of scale, L, is about leadership and culture. And we just spoke about that.
Yeah.
That's if somebody comes in, part of them coming to your salon isn't just the quality of what they do to your hair, it's the quality of the experience that you have from the moment you walk in through the door or from the moment you ring up to book an appointment.
Yeah, definitely. You know, within our industry, especially because the standard of hairdressing has become so high now globally. Right. So, and you know, there's hairdressers out there that charge £15 for a haircut, and there's hairdressers out there that charge $200 for a haircut, right? And what you'll find is that the standard of haircutting that they're doing is very, very similar. You know, so it actually all comes down to the experience and the service that they receive. That's the differentiator.
So if you've managed to position yourself as creating the experience where you can command and create consistent demand for a $200 haircut, mm-hmm. then going to a new location, that whole customer experience from beginning to end has to be replicated.
Absolutely, 100%.
And that comes down to the leadership, you know, the leadership, who's going to lead that salon and a culture is set from the top. So that's critical. So we've talked about systems, we've talked about cash. Oh, I said leadership and culture. For those that were really paying attention and can spell better than I can evidently spell, I missed out A. So A was advance, and that's really about always be advancing your offering to the marketplace, always be innovating. So what might that look like in your world?
Well, I think, you know, just what we spoke about, first of all, you know, the other streams of revenue. So advancement as in, you know, what you can offer the team members, then of course it's, what are the latest techniques? You know, what's happening? You know, are we educating the team consistently? You know, making sure that we are up to date with everything that's happening within the industry. But I think from a business perspective, it's always, how can I keep the team growing, you know, financially and creatively?
Great, love that. So systems, cash, advance, leadership and culture. And the final letter is E, and that's all about effectiveness, personal effectiveness. So what could that look like in a salon? Important, you know, what would good effectiveness look like?
You know, again, this is a huge point that we coach to a lot, and it's using assistants, using your proteges, we call them, you know, so the apprentices as they're coming through, and being able to make sure that the stylists, who perhaps they've become what they see as fully booked, that's what we call when they're kind of at capacity, but by having them use an apprentice or a protege in a certain way as a team member, as a partner on the salon floor, it enables us to kind of remove that ceiling and enables the stylist to continue growing. So, you know, this is an area again where we see a lot of salons, their lead stylists get to a point where they're saying, you know what, I'm done growing here. You know, I can't scale any more than this. I'm going to look elsewhere where I can either charge more or perhaps I can get a better deal on my pay. Whereas if they can utilize other team members, then it means that they can obviously continue scaling. And this is what we were able to do. This is why we were able to have multiple stylists on our team that were earning six figures plus. You know, and those stylists have continued to grow because of the proper utilization of the junior team members.
Absolutely. And also systems can help with being effective. So if you know that there are certain tasks that you need to do by a certain time every day and you get into the routine of doing that, that can really help with your own output and productivity.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah.
So, you know, I noticed walking into your office, David, that you have a little reminder about the things that you need to get done before 10:30 in the morning. I love that because that means you're zoned in as soon as you arrive, bang, straight into doing those. And you know that the output from those activities will be good for your business, will make a difference in your business.
Yeah, you know, I mean, one thing that we advise all of our team members, all of our salons that we coach to do is a morning huddle. Yeah. Right. And again, this was something that was kind of foreign to our industry. You know, the stylists would rock into work at 5 to 9, throw their bag in the back room. And it's like, where is my first one? Yeah. You know, oh, she's over there in your chair. Okay, off I go. You know, no time to have any type of powwow with the team or even to look at your day. Whereas now what we do with the huddle is we make sure that they've got a plan, right? So the team get together normally 15 minutes before the shift, right? They talk about three topics. They talk about yesterday's successes. Okay, so what happened yesterday that we can celebrate, you know? And sometimes I love to celebrate the smaller things. Like, for instance, we were just talking about the apprentices there and utilizing them. Perhaps you're turning around just saying, Sarah, you were like my shadow yesterday. You were incredible. It's like you were thinking for me. You know, those little things which make such a massive deal to the apprentices, to the assistants, right? Or it could be that as a client turned around and said, could I have a Diet Coke? And you don't serve Diet Coke, but somebody ran out and got her one anyway. So there's little things that we say we get a chance to recognize first thing. The second one is what are the possible challenges that are happening on our day-to-day? Perhaps we've got two clients that are booked too close together. You know, you've got Mrs. Jones in at 1 and Mrs. Lewis is in at 1:30, and you know that Mrs. Jones has got 4 heads of hair and you're going to be running late. And so again, we're addressing that first thing. We're saying, listen, I'm going to need some help. Can somebody help me there? So addressing any possible challenges. And then the third thing is, what are the goals for today? You know, what is our focus for today? You know, is it making sure that we're having great conversation about retail products and about home care for our clients? You know, is there a new product out or a new service that we're doing that we want to be talking about? So they have this literally 5 to 7 minute powwow every single morning, which just makes an incredible difference to the running of each day.
That's brilliant. The team huddle, 5 to 7 minutes in the morning, it sort of sets the tone, sets the mindset for the day.
Right.
You know, that's so applicable across many other different industries around celebrating yesterday's successes. Phenomenal. That really gives people genuinely an acknowledgement and a pat on the back for good work well done. Success breeds success. So they're going to want to do more of that. So that immediately creates a state change. Right. So people are feeling good and positive and confident in their own capabilities and their own skills. Challenges. Of course, you're going to have challenges ahead. So let's anticipate them and plan and work out as a team how we can address those. So that works in so many other industries. And then, right, what are we working on today? The goals, the outcomes for today that we want to deliver. And, you know, you take that to any sales team, you take that to any operational team, you take that to any manufacturing team, research, any team that is so applicable to. And it also helps keep not only morale high, it keeps a level of a cadence of a pace.
Right, exactly.
And when businesses go hit a plateau, often what's missing is pace. Well, one of the things that's missing is pace.
Yeah, 100%. You know, this has been the huddle for us has been an absolute game changer, because we all know, right, that if there is a problem going on, whether it's with an individual or whether it's with a booking on their day, that what happens is they just let it fester. They sit in the back room, right? And it just builds and builds and builds. And even though they've got to go and see 3 or 4 clients before the problematic part of the day starts, that's all they're thinking about. 2 o'clock is going to be hell. You know, so yeah, it's been a game changer.
So we've had a wide ranging conversation over the last 45 minutes, David. We know we talked about how we can scale a business. We talked about how we can do that without increasing fixed costs and overheads through adding new revenue streams. And we shared a couple of examples like the wedding business in a niche or monetizing a particular skill set and brilliance. But then we've also talked about the things that you need to be aware of if you were to scale to another location. Mm-hmm. I think those gems that you shared are brilliant because they can be shared across. They are so applicable across so many other industries, whether they be a service-based industry or whether they even be a product-based or manufacturing industry, manufacturing business. Those are equally as relevant. So I think there's a huge amount of value both our sets of listeners can get from, you know, applying that to the case study of the hair salon industry. And for those of you that haven't had any exposure to hair salon, maybe when you're sat in a chair having your hair done, you'll be looking at their business through, you know, the lens of your own business mind and seeing how that works. So if my listeners want to find out a little bit more about what you do, or they know somebody who's got a hair salon that would love to find out about what you do and how you help, how will they do that?
Well, they can either reach out to me through social media. So it's at High Performance Stylist. That's for Facebook and for Instagram. Or you can email me as well at david@joinhps.com. That's david@joinhps.com.
That's brilliant. That's brilliant. So I'm Gavin Preston. The podcast is Business Mastermind Podcast. And I'm on LinkedIn as Gavin Preston. Gavin Preston Growth Strategies on Facebook. And you can just drop me an email on gavin@gavinpreston.com.
Yeah, I'm sure, Gavin, as well, for our listeners, that you could offer incredible value to them. So please, guys, reach out to Gavin if you've got any further questions regarding growing your business.
David, it's been a real pleasure.
Thanks, Gavin.
You've been listening to the Business Mastermind Podcast. Be sure to subscribe, rate, and review so that more people like you can get their business back on their own terms, enjoy more success, and create more impact.